Life Audio. You're listening to Therapy and Theology, and I'm your host, Carly Merclear. This podcast is a space where we explore popular topics and questions related to the convergence of faith, feelings, spiritual formation, and more. My prayer is that through these conversations, we will grow in our awareness of who we are as beloved children of God, learn to acknowledge our needs and emotions with curiosity and compassion, and rediscover the purpose and power of our unique stories through the lens of the gospel. As a licensed therapist and ministry leader, I want to give voice to the many questions we face while cultivating a clearer view of how our faith informs our healing journey. I don't have all the answers, but I am committed to going deeper and walking together. So whether you've been to therapy or know exactly what you believe when it comes to theology, I want to invite you to join this journey as we fearlessly name the complexities of our present reality and press into the hope of the gospel story. So are you ready? Let's jump into today's question and begin this journey together.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Hello, and welcome back to part two of my interview with Mariela Rosario. Last week, we dove into the concept of shame, what it looks like in our lives, and how we are to align our lives with the gospel message. I hope you enjoy this episode.
Well, there's so many aspects of your book that I am so connected to, both just the aspect of community and the connection that you've talked about, and the lies shame tells us. Something that I think is really important is that understanding the connection between early childhood experiences, the impact of our attachment, and how that plays in our view of ourself and God and others is so vital, right? And I would love for us to talk a little bit more about community and how this is such a large part of processing and finding the wounds of shame, but it also can be really challenging, and there can be a lot of gifts and challenges in community. And so would you just speak a little bit more into that as we are talking about bringing, you know, this nakedness, as you say, this vulnerability that we're showing up into relationships with? What has been that experience for you?
Yeah. So there's a blessing and a burden when it comes to community. And I believe that both is the same. It's people. Yeah. People can be the blessing and people can be the burden. People could be the help and people could be the hurt, right? Because we're all flawed, right? We're not perfect, but there's been wounding that happens in community, but there's healing that happens in community as well. And I look back when it said that they were naked and they felt no shame. Shame wouldn't have been a thing if they were by themselves, right? So it was like, in order for you to really be able to battle it and deal with it and be seen fully and knowing, you can't be isolated. And shame wants to isolate you. Shame's going to want to make you hide and protect yourself. And the things that we've experienced in our childhood can very much give us the belief, and with good reason, honestly, with good reason, that 100 good reason that people have done harmful things to us. But the beauty of the gospel is that God tells us, like, hey, my ways are not your ways. And I think it really comes down to not our faith that we have in people, but the faith that we have in God, who calls us to his bride. I'm not saying like in of the four walls of a church necessarily, although I think like that community is beautiful when we're able to be together glorifying and worshiping the Lord and walking alongside one another. But I think like the healing that I've experienced within community has been allowing myself to be seen, but also to see other people, to being a soft place for other people to land. Because it's not just our shame that needs healing. It's all of our, if we understand that we're all human and we all deal with this thing, and the Lord tells us like, confess your sins to one another and then you'll be healed, right? And I'm like, what? Like, so that means I can't just like, I can't just buy Carly's course. I don't know if you have a course. I'm just saying, I can't just buy this healing course and like heal myself. Like I'm way, like I would love to just hang out at home and do this and like curate my life. But the beauty of the gospel is that it's messy, but it's majestic in the way that you see the mystery of God in the midst of it. Like you're just like, I don't know how this is working, but it's working. Because like for me, when I was actually honest about my condition, when I was honest with somebody else about the things I struggle with, the thoughts that I have, and I was met with compassion, it did something inside of me. It validated like my experience, but it also allowed me to learn how to love others more. And I've also learned, even through the people that have wounded me and dropped me, it's taught me how to love others and not to do the same thing to them. So I think that a big part of healing and a big part of the life that we're called to live as believers, we're walking. It's a journey. It's not a sprint. We're walking with Jesus day by day, and we're being sanctified day by day. And God uses community to sanctify us. He uses community to heal us. He uses community to strengthen us. Because even within the Godhead, God's in community, right? Even within just himself, like he's not just solo. And I think that especially if someone's listening and they've been hurt by people, I just want to encourage you that when we find in our firm foundation is the solid rock that never changes, like through the highs and the lows of life, through the ebbs and the flows, the trials and the tribulations, when our identity is fixed on him and our trust is in him, then we're going to trust the methods that he has given us as his kids. It's less about trusting people and more about trusting God when we engage in community is what I've come to realize. But I've been healed in community, but I've also been hurt there. So yeah, I don't know if that answers your question.
No, that's so good. It's not a simple answer, right? It's a complex thing, because I think a lot of times there is this, I don't know, maybe idealistic belief that like the church is going to hold all of the good. And yet we are broken people. Like you were saying, like we all are wounded from shame and sin. And so in that sense, we are all working out our salvation, like working in this journey of being healed that will happen until the day that we are brought to heaven. And so in that, I think there can be some disillusionment or even disappointment to be grieved. Like, oh my goodness, I thought, you know, this friendship or this relationship or my pastor or my spiritual mentor, whoever it is going to, you know, show up in the way that I need them to all the time. And yet, I think it's in our ruptures and in our personal brokenness, if we are, like you're saying, honest, that actually can be such a beautiful picture of humility, of grace and mercy, of self-compassion, and how just someone modeling that in my life has helped me be like, oh, I can have grace for myself when I mess up. It's not that I'm not going to mess up or that I'm, because I'm a Christian, shame's gone, everything's great, I'm going to be fine.
You know, right.
In that, in my mess ups and hang ups and all the things, that I'm able to come back to God or come back to community and find safety and rest. And so I really think that's beautiful that it's this ongoing process where we're all on a journey together. And that allows us to not hold any sort of, oh, they're better than me, or, oh, I'm superior to someone else, because it's like,
we're
doing this together. And that is solidarity. And I think that's so important within an embodied faith.
And I think, too, it's really important that if we're not careful, because this has happened to me, is the people that have dropped us and the people that have, in their humanity, disappointed us, or, you know, we were disillusioned by their position or And it's kind of just like hardened our hearts. It's made us like skeptical. It's made us, we're over here just kind of like looking like untrusting, right? We have to be super careful in that, because then we start perpetuating and projecting like our shame when other people come and need a soft place to land as well. We have to remain tender. Right. We have to remain tender. And I think that this work is very much so one that's going to, that obviously requires the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us in. And we're not going to be dishonest with our pain, but we can't allow it to be a trigger for perpetuating a narrative or a mindset of hurt and harm. I've learned that my triggers, when I'm triggered, I heard one time, like in my heart, I'm walking through kind of a really hard time in my life right now. That's really when I think about the harm that was done to me. I was in depression for a minute, like for a solid, like maybe month after this happened. I was like in depression as a believer, loving God and everything. I just was so sad. And so I didn't want to talk to anybody. I was isolating myself, and I was just replaying the story of harm in my mind. And I started just sitting with the Lord, and I said, I just, please take this away from me. And he said, okay, like start replaying the story of my faithfulness. And he goes, allow those triggers to be a trigger for compassion. And I was like, what? And I'm like looking at my life and how much time I've needed God's mercy and God's grace over me, and how readily I was ready to receive that and be washed by that. And when I started doing it God's way, and I called a friend after I was ready to come out of my hole, and I said, you know, like I'm in so much pain. I am so upset. I'm mad that this happened. I just expressing myself, and I'm like, but I'm ready to do it God's way. And it wasn't bypassing my pain. It wasn't bypassing what happened to me. It was me releasing my own way of trying to handle that and protect myself and saying, God, like, I don't know why, like you say to pray for those that hurt us and despitefully use us. I don't know why you say for me to turn the other cheek. I don't know why you tell me to walk an extra mile when somebody asks me, that's already suppressing me, asks me to walk a mile. I don't know why you tell me, but the same way that you gave me forgiveness, the same way that you did this divine exchange with my sin and gave me Christ's righteousness, I need you to take my pain and give me your perspective. And when we really submit that to God, and we really like a child, just believe what he says and let it down, something supernatural happens. And that's like the thing with us. It's like, we're super smart on this earth. We have a lot of science. We have a lot of things to back up, like book knowledge and everything, which is all good and has its place. But there's something supernatural that happens when we submit to the ways of God that are way higher than our ways, that make no sense to our natural mind, and allow him to do what we can't do within ourselves. Because by myself, I can't battle my own shame. By myself, I can't forgive. But it's like, I'll just submit it to you and release the control. And then it starts breaking off of you. And I don't, like, little by little, you know, we still, it's our journey and we're going to walk it out. But leave room for God and leave room for what his ways, right?
I love that. I love this image that you've created here of like not bypassing, but like inviting God into
it. Yeah.
And like how that's where the transformation happens, both for the one harmed and then also for the one who did the harming. Because there's
exactly
God can show up for both of those parties. And so that's a beautiful picture for us as we do this work, because it's an ongoing journey.
Bro, it's work. I'm like, I'm tired, Jesus. You came back soon or what?
I would love, and I ask everybody this at the end of each episode, to just share, if you have one, like one last encouragement. Sometimes it's a practice or a resource that has helped you to either expose lies or process, you know, battle with lies of shame, and just reclaim that purpose as God's beloved child. And so I don't know if you have any kind of last thing, one thing for your book or something that you practice that allows you to just reclaim that name of his child.
Yeah, thank you. So, you know, I would say self-talk, super simple and practical, but super impactful if we put it in practice, is that I need to hear the truth and I can't rely on other people to speak it over me. Like, I need to be reminded of the truth. And if I only wait for somebody to tell me, it's few and far between. Okay. But every day I need to, like, I talk to little Mariela. Like, if you, like, I know that the listeners can't see my video, but I have a picture of myself back there when I was a little child, like a little girl, before the rosy colored glasses of life were taken off my face and I saw things for what they were, when I was just fully loved and fully known and I just was so innocent. And I talked to that little girl that's still inside of me that is afraid, the one that doesn't put on a mask. And I just say, hey, like you're loved, like you're safe, you're valuable. When I go into rooms that I have social anxiety and I don't know what, because just ingrained in me from being a performer and a people pleaser my whole life, it's just natural for me to walk in a room and look at the room and figure out what I need to do to fit into this place. And before I even do that, like, my practice of self-talk is reminding myself out loud. I'll say, hey, Mariela, like, you're enough. Like, your voice, I want you to know, is strong. Your voice is valuable. Your opinions matter. Like, no one is better than you and you're not better than anybody else. And I just start, like, it's reparenting. I know in psychology we talk about that, but like, that has really revolutionized and changed like how I move and operate and really battle my own shame. And the truth that I speak over that is like the loving parent, which is the Father. What does he speak over us, you know? And he's just like I created you in my likeness. So like, I go before you. Don't worry, you're not walking in this room by yourself. I'm with you. I never leave you or forsake you. And I just talk to myself. And I believe that that little practice will really change your life if you really start putting that into practice.
So good. Yes. I'm all for positive self-talk and bringing Jesus into it. It's good. Well, yeah. Mariela, thank you so much for I know the book journey is one to be had. And so thank you so much for the work that you've done to even just put this book out into the world and for your voice and this message of just hope and healing for people.
Thank you so much, Carly.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of Therapy and Theology. If you have a question or topic you would like discussed on a future episode, please feel free to email me or drop it in the comments. Also, don't forget to subscribe to have each week's episode instantly downloaded to your podcasts, and see the show notes for resources mentioned in this episode. To access more content and join my monthly email list for the latest updates and info, visit my website at carlymarkluyer.com.
This is my skyship, Dreamer. My cargo is stories, and our destination, dreams.
With Abide Sleep Stories for Kids, you can help your children fall asleep fast and learn about God. To find these kids' bedtime stories, go to lifeaudio.com. or search your favorite podcast app for Abide Stories for Kids. You can also download the Abide app for more biblical meditations at abide.com.